I'm actually waiting for the PowerPoint picture to come up because that's how I'm starting out this morning. How many of you have all your flowers planted and everything down in your garden and all that? Yeah, this week, Stacy's been planting her flowers and she had strawberries set up and everything and she was all excited about this. And so the other morning she got up and she said, something has ate all my flowers and my strawberries. And when I say the strawberries, they're right on the porch, right by the door. And she said, looks like somebody took a pair of scissors and cut them. So I said, I don't know what could have done that. And she said, I bet it was deer. And I said, not up on the porch, probably. And so I set up a game cam last night. Yep, it was a doe. She's back. And so if you want some venison, my wife will probably have some available for you. She's going to be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning with a knife in her mouth, just ready to pounce on that thing. Yeah, she just ate her strawberries and they were doing pretty good. So now we're moving like everything in the house at night. It's ridiculous. Just so the deer, they'll probably be coming in the door before we know it. So yeah, so I have this picture up here. It is the season for dandelions. How many of you have dandelions here? Do you have them? Yeah, they just, oh my goodness. I hate dandelions. Now, before I become such a hater on them, they do have value. I don't know if you know this, but you can make salve out of them. My wife has done that before, and she's made tea out of these dandelions and then forced me to drink it. And it's, I'm not really into dandelion tea. But you can make these things out of them, but my job is to spray them. Now, I know the bees love them, and I'm a big fan of bees, and if you know, bees are having kind of a hard time anymore. They're just in their numbers, they're going down. But as much as I like bees, I hate dandelions even worse, so I spray them. But let me ask you this. How does this process happen? How do you have all these dandelions in your yard all the time? If you were explaining this to, let's say, a 4 or 5-year-old, how would you say that they got there? Is it the dandelion fairy that just goes out there and sprinkles out dandelions? Yeah, you blow the heads off, and it's like our girls did the same thing. I would be like, no. I used to make our girls go out and collect them all and then put them in a bag. And, of course, we know, like with this second picture here, that how this process happens is that you have one little what? Seed. And there's many seeds on a dandelion when it comes to maturity. And of course, they blow off there. Your kids are out there blowing them around the yard. And then that one little seed goes in the ground and then it germinates. It starts to form a root and then it grows into this dandelion, which then matures and the cycle starts over and over and over. Why do we spray dandelions? Why do we get rid of them? And of course, the answer to that is because if you don't control them, they will what? They'll take over. They choke everything else out. You won't have a lawn of grass. You will have a lawn of dandelions if you don't take care of them. Because why? Because this cycle is just going to continue on and on. And it starts from one little seed. And you can try to ignore them and say, maybe they'll just go away. Maybe I just won't have to deal with them. And you know that doesn't work. If you have that mindset, they are just going to continue to spread and spread until you have a problem. And so with that, I'm setting this up to talk about this for several weeks. We're going to talk about removing the root of bitterness. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, the very short verse that we had read for us today, because I believe this is such a problem within the church. And if you remember when we were going through our series several weeks ago on why does God allow bad things to happen, there was our little guy up there, and he has a choice here. He can either go one of two directions. What was the two directions he could go? He could either be, yes, bitter about the way that life is going, or he could choose to be better. And so I'm using this kind of as a spinoff series, if you want to call it that, from our series on why does God allow bad things to happen, because I see so many people in 30 years of ministry who have this root of bitterness in their life. And I wrote these things out here because I believe them to be true. Bitterness is the most dangerous of all attitudes to healthy Christian living. I believe that's a true statement. It will eat away at your spiritual life until your testimony is in shambles. Bitterness is the cancer of the soul, claiming millions of victims every year, and it spreads faster than the common cold, and if unchecked, it will destroy families and churches. I have watched this happen over and over and over again with churches. Churches that I have actually even been a part of pastored, and they have a root of bitterness that was even preceded us, you know, being at that church, that destroyed the church. Bitterness. I see this happen in so many people's lives and families and situations where bitterness comes in. And maybe this root of bitterness has been there for decades, and it will destroy a family. Two things that I see happen constantly in the church is pride and bitterness. And when those things come into the church and into people's families, it will destroy. And it's something that we just don't seem to talk about in the church. I don't know why that is, because I think that it's such a touchy subject because we have so many people that are entrenched in bitterness. And yet Scripture speaks about it because it says if we don't start to do something about it, it is going to cause a problem. And so this is our verse. Paul's speaking to a group of Christians, and he says this to them in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. He says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness." It's interesting that he calls it a root of bitterness. "Springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." He's telling these people, please, quit allowing bitterness to come into your lives and into this church, because it will cause problems. It will destroy. Because like with the dandelions, bitterness is going to spread, and people think that they can control it, and we're going to talk about that today, and they can't. And then it starts to choke out anything that the Lord is doing. And I've seen it happen again and again and again. And the truth is, we all have a lot to be bitter about. That is true. And you can say that there's failed expectations, there's battered relationships, there's destroyed hopes. You can say that there's soured friendships, and the list goes just on and on. So many things out there, yes, that are wrong, that are unfair. We talked about this before when we were going through the series on why does God allow bad things to happen. When my girls would come to me and say, that's not fair. And I would say, life isn't fair. It isn't fair. There is a lot of bad things that happen. And this is the reality, that life is full of hurts, and it will always be filled with hurts. That is just part of it. Jesus warned in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, he says, it's inevitable that stumbling blocks, or another way to say that, offenses will come. As long as you live, people are going to hurt you, offend you, and they're going to disappoint you. That is just a reality of life. And then from all those things, we become bitter. I have a guy up here, you know, he's like, that is a reality. So how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to start to deal with these situations if we have this bitterness in our life? Because it will happen. So I want to answer this question. What is biblical bitterness? Well, the Greek word here, pyrox, means bitterness and is used no less than 40 times in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Only once it describes something that is bitter and reference to like a bitter water. We will use that term in Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. Where this started, this word bitterness, it means sharp or pointed. It came to describe anything unpleasant, undesirable, or something bad and unexpected. More often than not, it describes a bitter person, someone who's been soured and cruel. Ruth 1:20, Habakkuk 1:6. So it's the idea that something happens in your life that's uncomfortable. It's like getting stabbed And so you get hurt, and then from that you react. And so we have these things, whatever they are, that happen in our life, and usually they center around people that do things to us, and then they hurt us, and it's how that we react back to that situation. In the New Testament, there are seven references to bitterness as suffering of mind and body, something that is difficult to bear, something that causes anger and reaction, something that is brought about by hatred or resentment. And you can see the references there in Matthew 26, verse 75. Actually, I think that's a wrong reference there. Luke 22, 62. I don't think there's 62 verses there, but I might have got a little crazy on my type in here when I put those in there. So we'll have to go back and reference those. But the idea is that you've got several places in Scripture that speak about bitterness. So how does bitterness develop? This is actually from a material that my wife and I use by John Regeer. John Regeer is a Christian counselor, and he's out of Colorado Springs. And for almost 30 years, 25 years, we have used his material. We have been trained by him. And so he says this, and I believe it to be true. He says that we get wounded, we feel hurt and confused, and then we seek to avoid pain, we become defensive, and then we become revengeful in our hearts. This is how this bitterness starts to come from just this one little seed. And then what are we going to do with it? So what is the definition of bitterness? And these are some definitions that I have found over the years that I've liked. Bitterness is the continuing negative response to an apparent negative experience. I like that. It gives you the idea that something has happened to me and it has hurt me. And going back to the original Greek, it's like you're being stabbed in the side with something. And then from that, you are going to react back to that person. Just like with the John Regeer training here, he has this picture, and he says that, you know, you've got the nurture, the offense, you think evil, you fight guilt, you go around in this circle, and then you have self-pity, malice, and then you have vengeance. Because somebody has hurt you, and now you're going to react back to it. You think you have to hold them accountable. Another definition I like is bitterness is anger frozen in time towards another person because of an offense committed. You know this to be true, that my wife and I have done counseling with people, and some of them have been abused at a very, very young age, 5, 7 years of age. And at that point, they start to have this root of bitterness that starts in their life, very young age. And when you're doing counseling with these individuals, it is like that you are going back to that very moment, and they could be 50 years of age, that very moment when they were hurt at 5 or 7 years of age. Why? Because that situation was so hurtful that it's like it's frozen in time to them. These people can tell you literally the color of the wallpaper when something has happened to them. I mean, they can tell you physically. They are just there. And they hold on to this anger because they've been hurt, and then it grows into this root of bitterness that now, 40-something years later, it's still there. So let's answer this question then. What does bitterness actually look like? How do you define that in looking at somebody and saying, that person has bitterness? Well, it's interesting. Proverbs 14:10 says this, a heart knows its own bitterness. A heart knows its own bitterness. Very short verse here, but I think that what it's saying here is bitterness is easy to recognize, but it's difficult to understand because why? It's a heart condition. I can look at you and say, there's some things in your life, the way that you act, the way that you talk, certain things, how you react, that I believe that you have this root of bitterness, but I don't know for sure. Because why? Because it's a heart issue. And the thing is, I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know people in this church very well, so I don't know if you're struggling with bitterness. And the thing is, this can be somebody who you are very close to. This can be your own spouse. Somebody for 35 years you've been together. And yet you don't understand completely their heart. They can explain it to you and what happened to them, but you don't quite understand exactly what they're going through and why they have this bitterness. And the thing is, they don't even understand sometimes. They can't even nail down exactly why they're bitter. They'll say that these things happen in their childhood or with their parents or certain, you know, circumstances, but they can't really tell you why that they are bitter. The heart can't even explain it because why? It's a heart condition. And just like with our hearts, I can't go up to somebody here with your physical heart and tell you, oh, you have a heart condition. Well, you got to better get that checked out because it's inside of you. It's the same thing in our life, that these things we hide away and it's hard to see. But you can see the fruit that comes from it. Just like with this picture that I put together here, you've got this root of bitterness in your life. And then there are these fruits that come from that root of bitterness. And you can, as scripture says, there's wrong anger, there's slander, there's hatred, there's self-pity, being vindictive. I would even say materialistic and defensive. These are things that people show in their life. And people will point at these, and a lot of counseling will start to deal with these, but these are not the issue. Most of the time, all of these things are just the symptom of a bigger problem. And I will tell you this, that most of the time, it goes back to a root of bitterness. So when people have sat down to do counseling with me, or when it's been a female individual with my wife or couples, most of the time I know that we're going to get down to, at some point, a root of bitterness. Because this is what people are worried about. When a spouse brings another spouse into counseling and says, this is what they're exhibiting, and that person may agree with that, but they'll say, I don't know why that I react the way that I do. Why am I like this? It's because you have a root of bitterness that has been there for years and years, and you don't even know it. And it's interesting that Paul, I believe the writer of Hebrews, says this. He calls it the root of bitterness. And why is it the root? I think it's because roots spring up quickly from a starting point. There's one point. Something happens. It's that seed in there. The second thing is, I believe that root is underneath the surface. It's hidden. It's a heart condition. We talked about that. The root is fixed or implanted, and it's hard to remove something once it's rooted very deep. It's been said that a dandelion may have roots up to 10 feet deep. Roots absorb and they store, and it's the same thing with bitterness. And as we talked about, it spreads. I have a picture up here, the next one, of a plant. How many of you know what this is? It's a vine. Does anybody know what this is here? What did you think? No, not poison ivy. Most of us are not going to recognize it here. I'll give you a hint because it's down south. This is a vine that grows down south. And I'll have Stacy pull up the map here. It covers this part of the country. Kudzu. This is what we don't deal with. This is everybody. If they came up here and they were saying, what? You guys don't know what this is, because everybody battles with it down there. It is all over that country down there. And I'm going to use that kind of an illustration today for bitterness, because it has absolutely taken over the South. It's terrible. If you know anything about this, it's a vine which is native to Japan. It was introduced in this country in 1876 at a trade show, World Fair, in the United States. And so they kind of brought it in and said, hey, isn't this a cool vine to grow on your porch? Well, from that, in the 1930s, they were paying farmers to plant this down south to stop the erosion that was happening. So farmers planted it all over down south, and then it took over. Because it can grow up to 1 foot per day and to 100 feet in a single growing season. It has the ability to choke out native plants and completely take over anything in its path. And I looked this up. They spend $6 million to control it. And it costs every year $500 million in loss in the United States in the South. The damage isn't even able to, you know, be recorded. It's in the billions and billions and billions of dollars over the last 100 years, if you want to say that time frame, in the United States in the South that this is caused. Because why? Because it chokes out everything. You can see it from the picture here. It grows up on the lines, and then they have to tear this stuff down. And it constantly choking everything out. And when it comes to what we're talking about here, this bitterness, it's the same type of mentality. It's the same thing. And that's why I believe that Paul is using bitterness here, the root of bitterness. It's interesting, the word trouble here means vex. It means to crowd within, to choke out, or to take over. And the idea that I believe that he's trying to get across here is the idea that it pushes out anything good in our hearts and takes over in our lives. Paul says you need to be careful because this thing, this root of bitterness, it will come in, it will choke everything else out. It's like dandelions. It's like this vine that's going to grow and it's going to stop everything else from growing. And then he says the word defiled here. Defiled means to dye with another color. It means to stain. It means to pollute. It means to contaminate. And I believe the idea is that it spreads from one to another, and it will spread and destroy. Just like with this vine, just like with the weeds that we have in this country, if you don't do something about them, if you try to ignore them, they will spread. They will destroy. And so today I want to talk about six consequences of bitterness in your life. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one of them because there is six here. And I could spend 2 Sundays on each one of these, but I'm not going to spend that much time on bitterness because Scripture speaks so much about bitterness in our life. But the truth is bitterness will destroy you because it is a heart issue. So that's where I start out, first of all. You want to talk about consequences. This is number one of the six. It will devastate you spiritually. You talk about having a sick heart, having a heart issue. This is what it will do. And it does this for two reasons. And the first one is this. Bitterness requires that you walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. That is how it will destroy you spiritually. Because every day that you wake up, you and I, as Christians, we have a choice. We can either walk in the flesh or we can walk in the spirit. I can either choose to have an attitude and do things my way, and I can choose to be bitter today, or I can choose to walk in the spirit, and I'm going to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and to show me things and to work in my heart. Those are the two choices that we have. And if you're like me, you can kind of jump in one to the other, one other box throughout the day. Doing pretty good, Lord. And then all of a sudden, no, I'm getting back into the, you know, the flesh, how I want to start to do things. But this is the problem with that. We can't control what happens to us in life, but we can control how that we respond or react to it. I think that I mentioned this a few weeks ago that it changed my life when I was a teenager that, we had a woman that was a speaker that came into our high school, and that was when you would allow Christian people to come and speak at your high school. That doesn't happen anymore. And she said, and I don't remember exactly her numbers, but she said, life is 95% of things happening to you and 5% of how you react to it. And something that clicked in my mind, even as a teenager. You can't control how people are going to treat you or situations. You can't control how you're going to respond to it. And if you have unresolved bitterness in your life, you're not walking in the spirit, but you're walking in the flesh. And just like with this vine, bitterness is going to choke out and destroy the fruit of the spirit. Just like with this picture here, what is that below that? That vine has taken over a tree. That tree is going to die now. It has just been overran by the vine. And it's the same thing in our spiritual lives. Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control." These are all things that we need to be playing out in our lives on a daily basis when we're walking in the Spirit, when there are certain things that happen, and we have a choice of how we're going to react to them. But these things are held back as long as you are bitter. This list is not going to happen. I'm guaranteeing you this. If you have a root of bitterness and it has grown in your life, it will choke these things out. And so you will see the result or symptom of this because people are not showing this in their life. Because bitterness destroys the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul warns about this in Galatians chapter 6. Starting at verse 7, he says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." If you go out and you're throwing out seeds of bitterness because that is what's in your life, that is what you produce, and you're throwing them out every day, what are you going to get back as far as a crop? You're going to get back bitterness. You're not surprised by that. My wife just planted a bunch of seeds for wildflowers. And she's hoping to get these wildflowers growing up. But if she went and bought these seeds and they put this doesn't happen, but if they would put the wrong, you know, label on the wrong bag and it was a, you know, bag full of weeds, she would be surprised. But if it said on there, weed seed, and then you're planting that, well, you know that you're going to get weeds. But why are we so shocked in our lives when we have this root of bitterness and we carry that around and then we don't have these fruits of the Spirit? And so when people say to me about their spouse or somebody else, and I know it in my own life, you know, they have these symptoms there and they're touchy and they're angry and they're defensive and we can go through all these things. Why are you so surprised by that? Why are you surprised? Why are you surprised in your own life? Because you have this root of bitterness. This root of bitterness has matured. It has had seeds, and now they fall around you all the time. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. The problem with that is that it starts to affect those around you. Because that is what you're putting off. Holding bitterness is walking in the flesh, and that's sowing to the flesh. And just like with this picture that I have up here, that it will start to take over. If that is what's being sown in your life, that is what's going to take over in your heart. That is what's going to grow. It's going to be bitterness. And then why are we so shocked about that? So, how it devastates you spiritually. Number one, of course, bitterness requires that you walk in the flesh and not the Spirit. Number two, as I said, bitterness stops spiritual growth altogether. You're not going to grow spiritually. You're not going to be producing these fruits of the Spirit. Because as it says there, that this bitterness causes trouble. And there's no room for growth then. Because why? Because it consumes us. It blinds our vision. It destroys close fellowship with the Lord. And that is why it is so devastating. That's why that I have seen for all these years some people that are so rooted in bitterness that they never grow, they never change, they stay that way. And I have seen some very, very bitter people, that have been in the church and they are there every Sunday and they're involved in the church and leadership positions, but they have the root of bitterness and they destroy everything around them. They destroy because they won't deal with this. Second consequence is it will destroy you physically. It's as bad as a heart attack almost for some people. And why is that? Because it's like a constant running machine in the background. It is a lifestyle, I will call it. Some people are so comfortable being bitter, and they've been that way for so long, and they have that root of bitterness, they don't know any different. It's always there. And many people attempt to try to bury the hurt and pain deep in their hearts, but it is in their subconscious mind. It is there. The heart knows its bitterness. And it enters into this subconscious mind, and it's running while that you are sleeping. People will actually have dreams about this. It's there when you're eating, when you're watching TV, when you're talking to a friend. It's just in your life. And they don't even know it. And when there's bitterness there, people have both physical and mental problems. You know this to be true. There's this inner conflict because it's a heart issue. There's gland problems. There's high blood pressure. There's, you know, cardiac disorders. There's ulcers. There's even insanity that comes from it. It will destroy you even just physically. Spiritually, number one. Physically, number two. I saw this quote years ago, and I don't know this doctor, but I thought this was interesting. He says this. He says 75% of patients who struggle with mental and physical problems could walk out of the hospital or stop taking medications tomorrow if they start forgiving today. If you start to deal with some of this stuff in your life, and I know this to be true because I have seen certain people that God has, I will say, blessed my wife and I with working with, counseling, and it's not my wife and I are doing it, it's the Holy Spirit and them allowing that Holy Spirit to come in and start to deal with this root of bitterness. But when they can start to deal with that and remove it, they can start to walk forward. And everything about their life, not that they don't have their days, I'm not saying that, but their life in general is starting to be healed. It's like removing a cancer from them. And even physically, some of the things that they have had in their life, they just start to go away. Because why? Because they've actually released this bitterness in their life. Going on, the third one of the six is it discourages you emotionally. Of course, there's a loss of joy where there's bitterness, there's discouragement. And I will even say this, bitterness leads to, I would call it paranoia. Because you are so paranoid because you've been hurt in the past. You look at everything as a problem or a situation that somebody's going to hurt you, or this is going to be the worst thing that it is, could possibly be. And so you have this victim mentality that everyone is out to get you then. Because why? Because yes, you have been hurt in the past. Nobody argues that. That is very wrong. And then from that, you react with bitterness. And so you look at everyone with this lens of bitterness. And you become very negative and critical and judgmental of others, and you think that you know their motives. And it's always wrong. And I can speak from personal experience here. I can say that this has been me in the past. And we believe that carrying or holding on to bitterness is really not a problem. I've had somebody say that to me before. He said, yep, I am a very bitter person. I realize that. But you know what? That's just who I am. I can control it. It's just part of who I'm made up to be. And he really thought he was controlling it. And the reason he was talking to me was because his family was saying, we can't take this anymore. Over 50 years of dealing with this, we can't deal with his bitterness anymore. And so it really was a problem for him. They'll say, it's not a problem for me. And we try to minimize the seriousness. And we'll say, well, it's just a little bit of bitterness in my life. That's all I have. And it takes over and we feel very defeated and discouraged. It's like trying to deal with this vine down south that after a while, when it's just taken over acres and acres, where do you even start? You admit that it's a problem, but I don't even know how to even start to get rid of it. I feel like that with our place, and it's just weeds and dandelions. When we had our place in Cozad, I mean, we lived there for 20 years and it was in bad shape when we purchased it, but it was, you know, it was taken care of. There was not maybe 3-4 weeds on that whole property. We sprayed them down. We planted grass. Stacy planted flowers. We had rock. I love rock because rock, you don't have to mow, you know, so I would have had the whole place rocked if I could have, but she liked flowers. And then you move up here and it was not maintained. And so then we have acres of weeds and thistle and all these problems. And it's like, it just becomes overwhelming. And a lot of people feel like that in their life. They'll say, okay, I admit that I am somebody that has this root of bitterness, but I don't even know how to deal with it. It's just overwhelming. It's just part of who I am. And it discourages them emotionally. Going on, number four of the six. This is a big one I've seen. It divides fellowship. It divides fellowship. I found this picture here and I like it. I had to look hard for this one. A crack in the cement and it's got this plant that's growing out. It only takes one little crack. You know this to happen. And then one little what? Seed. That seed just has to fall in that crack and it will start. And you've seen this happen before, that a tree over 30 years will grow up in that crack. And what does it do? Does it care about that cement? No, it will divide it. It will destroy if somebody doesn't remove it. And that only starts from one little seed. That's it. And it's the same thing in the church. I will say this. Conflicts will happen within the church. They are going to happen. They have happened since the beginning of time. That's why Paul has to write this type of stuff. And we can't completely avoid that, but we can control how we respond. And the root of bitterness grows from a seed and it divides. And Paul is having to deal with this 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet in a completely different culture. And I've said it before from this pulpit when I've been here. The thing that actually encourages me in some way that the problems that we have in the church today are no different than they were in the first generation. Because people's hearts are the same no matter where you go. And he has to write this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Starting there, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. He says, my brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Paul says, if you want to destroy a church, this is how you do it. You start to have this division. You have differences of opinions. That's going to happen in the church. People want to do things a certain way. But are you going to allow that to become bitterness? Because it will start to divide. It will destroy. I have said this of our time in Bible college. Now, these people that were at the Bible college, students, staff, they were not perfect people. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I will tell you this, that of the people that were on staff, of the students, if there was any type of difference of opinion on doctrine or just life or, you know, anything else that happened there, it was like that people could talk, they could work that out, they could communicate, and they could agree to disagree and still be brothers and sisters in Christ and move forward. I now, 30 years later, I look back at that and what a absolute, I will use the word miracle, that was. And I wonder always, why is it like that? Like, why was it like that in that environment and not in the church? Because it's not like that in the church. You know that to be true. You don't have to be involved with a church for like 20 minutes and figure that out most of the time, unfortunately. And I don't know. I think it was because there was a lot of biblically based people, not perfect people, that were walking in the Spirit and they were sowing to the Spirit and they had one focus and agenda. And that was to get the gospel out there, to train people to be sharing the word of God. And so when little things came along, the bigger picture was we have something that Jesus Christ has called us to. And so we're not going to get sidetracked by all these small things. And so now, you know, fast forward 30 years later of being involved in the church and being a pastor for those years. Oh my goodness. The things that have caused bitterness and problems and divided and destroyed are just, I will say, stupid. They are absolutely the craziest things that you could ever come up with. People have told me before in the past, they're like, you need to write a book. And I said, I try to block a lot of this out. I don't want to like bring it. It's like a book that you write and then you burn it. Because I don't even want, for even the namesake of people, I wouldn't even want it to be written down. I mean, I have had, and this is no joke, I have had people that have started a problem because of the light bulbs that were put in, by family members in a generation prior, and these were when light bulbs lasted, and they had burnt out in the light fixture, and we talked about changing the whole light fixture, and it caused a problem because we were going to change burnt out light bulbs. And how dare we do that? Because their grandmother had donated that light fixture that had now burnt out, and that it would be better just to remove the whole thing. And it caused such a problem, we didn't do it. Because the root of bitterness, and that was a symptom of a root that this family had. And so it showed in these symptoms, but then it spreads. Because you go around, if you're bitter, and you try to get people to your cause, and people are like, I don't even care about that light fixture, but I don't want to listen to you anymore. I don't want there to be problems or whatever, so I'll just side with you that we need to leave that light fixture. And it divides. And I will say this, Satan's favorite entertainment is to see Christians fight. I will say this, it's kind of interesting to watch roosters fight. Years and years ago, our church would go down to Mexico once a year. We would build a house for somebody in the local church down there with Casa Por Cristo. And one year we were down there and we were unloading the supplies and getting ready to build. And there was a boy, I don't even know his age for sure. I would say he would be 7 or 8, don't really know for sure. A local boy, actually we were building the house for him and his mother and his cousins and aunt. And of course he spoke Spanish. I didn't speak any Spanish. We're unloading the truck, and there was a roll of insulation. And if you've ever seen the one brand, it's got the Pink Panther on it. Have you seen this? Because it's pink. I don't know. They contracted, you know, the Pink Panther to be on there. And the only word I know in Spanish is cat, which is el gato. And I looked at him. I said, el gato. And he's, oh, sí, sí. And so then he started speaking to me in Spanish, and he followed me around the whole time we were down there. And I took gifts down to the kids down there. We, on Wednesday nights at our, what we call adventure club with our kids, and that was from at our church from preschool to fifth grade, I had a prize box, and I would buy like little metal cars, matchbox cars, and little tractors, and Nerf footballs and stuff, and I'd put in this prize box, and the kids would win it if they did certain things, and they would come up there, and I'd open this prize box, and a big Tupperware box, and they'd look in there and go, oh, that's a bunch of junk. Don't you have anything better? Like, do you have any, like, video games or anything or, like, computer stuff? And I go, no, this is like a Nerf ball. And they're like, I don't even want that stuff. That's stupid. So anyway, I would take that stuff down because the kids wouldn't take it. I'd take it down to Mexico. Those kids thought it was like I was handing out games, you know, PlayStations or something. I mean, they were so excited by it. But they had no entertainment. This one boy, the only entertainment that they had down there was a flat soccer ball. This is all they owned, and a dead pigeon. So they carried around that dead pigeon. I would always be like, put the pigeon down. And they would like always hand it to me. And I would throw it and they would laugh. And then they would go pick it up and bring it back to me. I was like, ah. So I was carrying around the pigeon eventually, you know, he's all. But I say all that because there's source of entertainment. I don't know exactly whose roosters these were. I think it was the boy's grandfather's or maybe uncle's. I couldn't figure that out for sure. But he took and showed me the fighting roosters that they had. And these are kind of cute. They got little boots, little spurs that you put on that are metal. And they put those on there, and then they take them and they fight them. And I never did see them, like, actually in some type of competition fighting. He showed me the ones that they had there. And the one rooster, he had no eyes. I mean, that's pretty hard to fight when you're, like, blind from fighting before. but it was their source of entertainment. And I think of that when it comes to Satan watching the church. It's like a bunch of blind roosters fighting. And he sits back and says, that's pretty good. I like it. And Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. He says, people, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Go ahead, keep fighting each other, but you will be destroyed. And unfortunately, your testimony and the church in the process. And the fifth one of the six going on, it defiles relationships, and we talked about that. It will spread, and it will affect everyone around you because bitterness can't be hid, it can't be contained, it spreads and it grows. And you can be bitter towards, and you can fill in the blank however you want to in there, you can be bitter towards this person and it will damage your relationship with this person. That is the truth. You don't have to be bitter towards, you know, your spouse to ruin your marriage. You can be bitter towards your mother or your dad and it will ruin your marriage. You can be bitter towards another and it will ruin your relationship with your children. Because why? Because you are so filled with bitter that you spread it all around and then it will affect the people around you. And the thing is, I've seen this happen before, that it will start to affect children and they don't even know why that their parent is even bitter. They don't know. Because this happened years to them being born. Their parent has this root of bitterness and has been there for so long that they don't even know that their parent is any different. They just think that's the way that they are. And then what happens from that? They are bitter themselves. Because of the way that they were treated, the way that they were raised, the way that it was presented, that was the fruit that was sown in their house with bitterness. And I can say this because this is me. I didn't realize that I was being raised in such a negative, bitter atmosphere. The only way that I could judge it was by watching TV. And that was back when, I've said this before, like with the Brady Bunch. And so you were like, okay, the Brady Bunch, they seem to be very positive people. They figure out things and they have these shows on there. And you had the reruns of Leave It to Beaver and all these things. And it's like people like came to some type of resolution and they figured something out and they had some moral teaching in there. And I watched this and I thought, that's interesting. We don't do that here in the South. Our grandfather never does that. And I didn't realize that he was sowing this bitterness. And I have to watch it today because it's what was sown in my life so much because it will spread. And so you don't have to be bitter, you know, towards your spouse. You can be bitter towards somebody else and it affects that. Because as scripture says there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, and by it many be defiled. Many. I've even seen it, and I'm not making light of this, where people will have pets and they will have a dog and they are a very bitter person and they have a very bitter dog. You know this to be true. I have seen it. I thought of one individual and I can think of him as I'm standing here. And he had a very nasty dog. And I thought, that dog is just you in a dog form. He didn't sit down with a dog and go, you know what? This happened when I was 10 years of old and I'm holding on to this root of bitterness and all this. The dog is like, oh man, having a cigarette, smoking, talking about this. I'm just bitter now listening to this story. How did that dog become bitter, angry, mean? It will affect so many people. It will even affect the dog. And this individual that I'm thinking about, it went back to my mind years ago to this verse, and by it many be defiled. It's not only your children who are going to be affected by this, your spouse, it's even the dog. That's why Paul has to say in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, he starts out in this passage and he says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. He says, don't let this root of bitterness start. You have to be forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against another anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also you should forgive. And then he goes on, jumping to verse 19. He says, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Jumping to verse 21 there, he says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. If you are a bitter person, it will affect everyone around you and they become bitter. And the sixth and last one as we close today is this. And I took a lot off of this because I had so much, and it's, I will save it for another time and put it in my other message, but it deprives you of a blessing. There is so much scripture that speaks about this. And I put this picture together. It's like you are on one side, and on the other side are these blessings, and there is this wall of just bitterness. It stops it from happening. Because as I said, you will see life through the lens of bitterness, negativity, critical spirit. We've talked about this in the past. Whatever you want to call it there. And you won't be looking for a blessing. You'll be looking for what's wrong, and you will be sure to find it. I guarantee it. And so bitter people that I have had involved in the churches that I have pastored in the past, they come in on Sunday morning, and they have a problem with everything and everyone. They are very bitter people. And then they go around and they talk to people and they say, well, this should be this way, shouldn't it? And people like that don't have an opinion on it, like, well, I guess, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the way it should be. And then they start to divide and they sow this bitterness and it will grow and it's like a cancer. And I feel for these people because while that at times they're very frustrating, if you look at them and understand these people, as challenging as they can be, I will use that word, you feel for them because you realize that they are sometimes a seven-year-old boy that has been hurt and they have allowed that seed to grow into bitterness. And so now at a 65-year-old man, they are a very angry person. Because why? Because of this thing that's happened. And I have to look at them that way. Because if you don't, you'll become bitter towards them and angry because of the things that they say and do. And I tell you what, that has served me well to work at the post office. In Lyman, Nebraska. Because I have somebody that comes in every day that is upset about the mail, and rightfully so, to the point where it is they are just absolutely so mad. And the reality is, it's not just the mail. It's really not. It's something else that's going on in their life, something else that happened that day, something else that happened 40 or 50 years ago. And I am learning these individuals and who they are and their past and just their personality. And it's just like they, and I believe this to be true, I have to laugh about it. I think they wake up in the morning and they are so mad and they're like, I don't have anybody to take it out on today. I'm going down to the post office. And I always tell people, you can't hurt my feelings because why? Because I have been married for 35 years. I have had 3 daughters that I have raised and I have been a pastor. You can't say anything to me that hasn't been said to me or hurt my feelings. I'm just like, phew. If you're looking for what's wrong, you will find it and will deprive you of a blessing. So as we close today, when it comes to this root of bitterness, I have these questions for you. Got bitterness? Do you have that root of bitterness in your life? And you've tried to maybe minimize it. You've tried to say it's not a big deal. It's just who I am. Everybody goes through this stuff when they're maybe a kid or whatever the situation is. It's not. And if you were to ask people that were the closest to you, they would say, you don't realize that you have a root of bitterness? Because that's really who people think that you are. What? That? Do you have that bitterness? Have you let the seed of bitterness take root? Somewhere at some point, that situation started. I don't know where. And maybe you don't even. And for some people, they can tell you like that, where this started. Some people, it's a lifetime of growing that root. And the last question I leave you with is do you realize how destructive bitterness is? Because as we talked about here, it has consequences. It, like in this picture, will take over this house. It will destroy. And until people start to deal with it, it's going to continue to destroy. And so when I have walked into a church as being the pastor in the first week and month and 6 months, and I can tell that there are certain people that have this root of bitterness, and they will allow it to destroy. We had a situation in a church where there was a family that was very bitter, very bitter. Goes back years and years, problems in the church, situations. And I tried to bring that about to get them some healing because everybody had allowed this to happen in the church for decades. And when you're trying to kind of prompt somebody to start to deal with this bitterness and they don't want to deal with it, they actually, it's their comfort zone, it's who they identify with, they are going to push back. And there happened to be a whole entire family that was entrenched in this bitterness, had this root of bitterness. And I laugh about this now, it wasn't funny at the time, but they were so angry then that they were going to leave the church. They came down on a Saturday night because they had keys to the church and they had donated a lot to the church over the years. They have been very involved in the church and everything that they believed that they had donated in the church, they took. Whether it was the clocks on the walls or the door handles off the front of the doors or the faucet out of the kitchen, or this is the one I laugh about, the toilet paper out of the stalls. Because we had a lady that was in there and she didn't know this had happened and she was like, help, help somebody, there's no toilet paper in here. And we couldn't find any toilet paper in the whole entire church because they had donated it. They took everything and they left. And it didn't end there. I wish I could say that that's where it stopped. And they decided that they were going to put that church in the crosshairs and take it out. Even though that had been their family church for the last, I would say, at that time, maybe 40-something years or more, they were going to destroy it. If they could have, they would have burned it down. And that is bitterness. And that bitterness ended up 2.5 years later, really why we left, because it could never be resolved. And that bitterness spread. It spread. And it couldn't be contained. It couldn't be stopped because these people weren't going to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change their hearts. It will destroy. And unfortunately, I can go through, I wish I didn't have them, but I can go through story after story after story after story in my own experiences. But I know ones that are even crazier that have destroyed churches with other pastors that have told me. And things that you just, if I would tell you, you go, that's a lie. That's just not even true. That can't even be true. And it is. And it comes from two things. And they're really cousins. And that is bitterness and pride. And Satan sits back and he just absolutely loves it because he says, another church destroyed. Another community where it's the only Bible-believing church in that community is gone. And not only is it gone, everybody who is a non-believer looks at it and says, why would I want to be a part of that? Look at how they're behaving. Look at what they've said and done to each other. It is absolutely sickening. I have said this before that I was working as a chaplain in a penitentiary for a short amount of time. And even though this was years and years ago, the culture has changed. It was a discouraging thing, I would say, that even guys that don't know the Lord, if you are a brother and wear the colors, you are a brother through and through. They're going to have your back. If somebody else messes with you, they're going to get hurt or killed if you are in that gang, if you want to call it. And they are very loyal to each other. These are guys without the Lord. Guys of the world that are murderers, thieves, And yet we come into the church, and this is just the reality of it. Paul was dealing with it 2,000 years ago. We are supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ under one spirit. We serve one Savior. We are called to be a family. And yet I have seen it happen again and again in the church that you will get stabbed in the back by your family, by your church. And so Paul was dealing with that issue 2,000 years ago. They were doing it to each other. And it hasn't changed. And it's not going to change until we start to deal with these issues that we have. And you start to realize that, you know what, I need to start to deal with this bitterness in my life because it's affecting my family. It's affecting the church. It's affecting the coworkers that I have. But the thing is, you can't make anybody do that until they realize that there's a problem. Because as I said before, the first step of AA, and those are actually biblical steps and how that came about, you have to admit. That's the first step. You've got to admit that there is a problem there. And so these are the consequences. It will devastate you spiritually. It destroys you physically. It discourages you emotionally. Number four, it divides fellowship. Number five, it defiles your relationships. And number six, it deprives you of a blessing. It does have consequences. Let's close the word of prayer. Lord, I don't know all of us that sit here this morning. I don't know their hearts. And as your scripture says in Proverbs, only the heart knows its own bitterness. And Lord, if there's somebody here that that struggles with that root of bitterness, Lord, I pray that they would take that first step and to admit that that seed has been planted at some point that has grown into a root of bitterness. And Lord, I pray that they understand the consequences, at least this Sunday, that come from that. That we can say that it's just who our personality is. We can say that it's not a big deal. But the reality is that it does have consequences. And Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that they would start to allow you to come in and start to deal with this root of bitterness in their life. And Lord, it's overwhelming at times. We don't even know where to start. But Lord, if we just start, even like with a flower bed full of weeds, if we even just start in a small spot and start working our way, Lord, by your insight, Lord, we can deal with this. All things are possible through your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that we would recognize that root of bitterness, and I pray that we'd understand the consequences that come from it. And Lord, we'll look forward to what your word has to say about how that we're going to start to remove this root of bitterness. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.